Hey, welcome to the church that gathers here locally, and because of last week, we gather here visibly as the visible church because of the gospel, Jesus in our place. Today is the final day of our series called Asking for a Friend. Like, these are real questions that you asked early this year that we've been answering from a biblical perspective. So if you have your Bible today, I hope that you do. Join me in the book of Matthew. If you have your notes in front of you, it's actually not Matthew 24, it's Matthew 16, 24. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24. Today's question is a question we should all ask. Does my life matter? How can I find contentment and peace and fulfillment in this earthly tent? Attributed to Mark Twain, but I can't verify that. But Mark Twain, it is attributed that he said that the two most important dates in your life are the day you were born and the day that you found out why. Which is this question. Why was I born? Does my life matter? You don't have to take Mark Twain for it. There are two persons in Scripture that know that your life matters. The first is Satan himself. Satan, created for the glory of God, did not consider glory something to give to God, but he desired that for himself. He rebelled, he sinned, he took a third of the angels with him. In an instant, he fell from heaven, and then he said, I'm going to give my last breath to tell mankind, who is created in the image of God, that their life does not matter. So he tempted Adam and Eve. He said things like, did God's word really say? Will you surely die? The tree of the knowledge of wisdom will give you wisdom, but God doesn't want you to be like him. That's Satan's way of saying to you, your life doesn't truly matter to God. And Satan will give his last breath so that you will feel like your life does not matter. That's the first person in Scripture that knows your life matters. There's a second person, that's the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem from a virgin's birth, who gave his life, he gave his last breath to remind you that your life matters. That your life matters to God. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Why would God send his one and only son into the world to die for rebels, to die for sinners, unless your life matters? And so this is the question at hand today. We're going to look in Matthew 16 and just ask Jesus and ask the Word, God, does our life matter? And if it does, what does that mean for us? Matthew 16, beginning in verse 24. And I make a promise every time we have our family worship days is to our children, to our young adults, I promised that the adults will be on their best behavior today. That's our promise to you. So if you hear little voices, just that's their way of saying amen. And you know what? I just firmly believe if the gathered visible church is not a place for little voices are heard, we're doing something wrong. So I'm thankful for moments like this where we get to read the word from the youngest to oldest. Matthew 16, 24. Jesus says this to his disciples. If anyone desires to follow after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross. Follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life because of me will find it. For what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will reward each according to what he has done. Truly, I tell you, There are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in this kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have gathered us today to hear your holy word. Lord, truly the two greatest days in anyone's life is the day that we were born and the day that we were born again. So Lord, may this day be that day for someone. And Lord, for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ by faith, thank you that we mattered to you, that you sent Jesus to atone for our sins. And Lord, may we never, never forget that. Because Satan will give his last breath to remind us that we do not matter. But Father, thank you that Jesus gave his last breath because we matter to you. Lord, we have read your word, and may it not return void in our souls. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Does my life matter? Yes. Yes, it does. And so I'm going to try to answer, why do we feel like it doesn't? If we know God says to us our life matters, if we know he sent Jesus because our life matters, then why are we asking the question? So to our children, sometimes you might feel like you ask crazy questions, but today the adults have asked the crazy question. Why do we sometimes feel like our life doesn't matter? Well, I think Jesus gives us several answers here in Matthew 16. Sometimes we feel like our lives do not matter because we are trying to save ourselves, which is why I love people like Mike and Alex who stand up and they say to the church, we want you to know that God's plan is better for our daughter than our plan is. They're in essence saying we can't save our daughter, but we have a holy God who can save her. Why do we feel like our lives don't matter? Because sometimes we're simply trying to save ourselves. Look at what Jesus says. If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to, what? Save his life. Which means Jesus knows that there sometimes in our lives we will try to save ourselves. That's just what the world tells us is good, right, and holy. The question is, how do we do that? Well, the world tells us to build a life worth saving. Work harder. Achieve more. Become more religious. Do more good. And if you do that, you will earn the approval of others. More success. More pleasure. More recognition. More virtue. But more in your life is not telling God, I'm worth being saved. That's what the world teaches us. And sometimes we feel like we don't matter to God because we feel like we will never measure up to God's standard. And I would just simply tell you, you feel correct. The Bible actually says you don't have to feel that way. You is that way. The Bible said, hey, Josh, before you feel this way, you have already fallen short of God's glory. And the wages of your sin is already death. Physical death one day, but spiritual death today. But the gospel radically changes our lives. Jesus says simply, follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross. In essence, to deny yourself is to say this to God. God, I can't save myself. And I believe God the Father says to me, really? Because I told you you couldn't save yourself. But saving faith will never come to you and to me until we acknowledge what God already has told us is true. That we say, God, I can't save Josh. But Jesus can save Josh. And Jesus can save Sienna. And Jesus can save Daniel. And Jesus can save Eli. And Jesus can say, Russ, who, Russ, I know you're in eighth grade, not seven. Just. We don't save ourselves, and we live in a world that tells us, save yourself. And if you feel like you need to save yourself, then you will live your entire life feeling like you do not matter. You do matter to God, and you cannot save yourself. That is why he sent Jesus to save you. I think the most important part of this passage is right here when Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow after me, this is where we need to be as Christians. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life because of me will find it. Sometimes we simply feel like we aren't measuring up because the world says, Josh, you measure up. The gospel changes our identity. Second, I think we ask crazy questions like this because sometimes we feel like our lives don't matter because we are trying to gain from the world what only God can give. We feel like our lives don't matter because we are trying to gain from the world that what only God can give. Look at verse 26. Jesus says to us, well, what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world? The whole world. And loses his life. I was reading this and thinking, you know, I was reading the historical context and it hit me. You know who heard Jesus say this? Judas. And you know what Judas does soon after? Judas gains 30 pieces of silver as he forfeits his life. And it hit me in a moment. I was like, well, I'm not Judas. I'm better than Judas. And then the Holy Spirit convicted me and thinking, how often do I chase 30 pieces of silver? We chase more money and another relationship, the next accomplishment, the newest possession, one more moment of recognition. And every gain becomes yesterday's news. And we are left wanting more. Augustine reminds us of this. He says, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you. And parents, if you have young ones in the room that you are wrangling right now, one, it's worth it. Two, the greatest thing you can say to your child is this. I want you to get good grades. I want you to hit a home run. I want you to do all these things. But even if you do all these things, that's not why I love you. I love you because you are mine. What they need you to hear them say is, if you gain the whole world, that I don't love you because you gain the whole world. I love you because you are mine and I am yours. And that's exactly what God says to us. Jesus is reminding us, sometimes we feel like our lives don't matter because we are trying to gain from the world what only God can give. Church, the world's treasures can occupy the heart, but they will never satisfy it. They can occupy your heart, but they will never satisfy it. And our restlessness is not cured by gaining more. Because at the end of our lives, we are measured by the health of our souls, not the wealth of our estates. So let's just pause. Do you feel like your life doesn't matter because your bank account's small? Silly Christian. God doesn't judge you by the wealth you accumulate. He judges us by the health of our souls bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Should we work hard and gain much? Yes, if God allows, so that we can give to the kingdom, so that those who have not heard might hear the glorious gospel, and that those who have not heard will hear, and that they might come to saving faith. But at the end of my life is measured by the health of my soul, not the wealth of my estate. What will it gain you, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul. Third, sometimes we feel like our lives don't measure up because sin has distorted the image of God that we were created to reflect. Jesus says this clearly, verse 26. He says, "What will anyone give in exchange for his life?" In exchange for his life. Now, that's fascinating to me that Jesus said this 2,000 years ago, because this idea of exchanging things for our soul has been in the conscience of the world for thousands of years. In the 16th century, there's a 16th century tragedy called Dr. Faustus. You can go back and read it. This doctor trades his soul for knowledge, power, and pleasure. 16th century. Some of you know the blues song, right? Where Robert Johnson met the devil at the crossroads and had this glorious voice, and the devil tuned his guitar in exchange for extraordinary musical ability. Some of you might have heard the day the devil went down to Georgia because he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was running behind. So he made a deal. Johnny, who made this wager, he would exchange his soul for what? A fiddle of gold to bet the devil he was better than him. Now, these are trite pop culture phenomenon, but I think there's a deeper truth here. I think in these songs and in this tragedy, the world knows that something is broken within us and we need to exchange our soul for something else. And that's partly true, but the greater truth is that Jesus exchanged his life for our life. I think these truths mirror what Romans 3:23 says. All have sinned and fallen short of that glory. And so I ask you what these three tragedies have asked. What will you exchange for your soul? Because you will find that there's nothing you have to offer God to redeem yourself. That leads us to a dark place, doesn't it? That leads us to a place where we say, well, God, I don't matter. In the world, Satan himself whispers to us, you are what you have done. You are a sinner. You are ruined. You are broken. And you will never matter to God. That's what the shame of the world says. That's what the Bible terms worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow says you have sinned, you are sin, you are broken, you are unredeemable, you can never go back. The Bible says you have sinned, you are a sinner, you can't go back on your own. That's why God sent his one and only Son to come on your behalf. That's guilt. Guilt says, oh no, I've done wrong. Let me run to God through Christ. Shame says, oh no, I have sinned. Let me run away from God because he will never accept me ever again. Worldly sorrow says you will never matter to God. Godly sorrow says you've sinned and you matter and Jesus took your place. Dear friends, does your life matter? Shame from sin says you used to matter and you can never go back. Guilt says you have sinned, repent, and be redeemed. Fourthly and lastly, sometimes we feel that our lives do not matter because we are listening to the world's voices. We feel like our lives don't matter because we are listening to the world's voices. Things like this. Did God really say that you won't surely die? Some of you have heard the world tell you, you are too old. You don't matter anymore. Some of you have heard the world tell you, you are too young. You don't matter yet. Some of you have had people ask you the question, What did you do to deserve this? Some of you have heard people say to you, God could never love someone like you. Some of you have heard the world tell you, no one wants to be with you. You will always be alone. And our teenagers will tell you that we have some of the most connected generations than ever, and they are the most lonely generation. Because the world is telling them, you will never measure up to the filters that you see in other people's lives. Sometimes we feel like our lives don't matter because we are listening to the world's voices. And I simply say to you, listen to them long enough and you will begin to mistake lies for the truth. You listen to lies long enough and you will mistake that for the truth. But above the noise of the world comes this gracious invitation of Jesus. Look what he says right here in Matthew 16. He says, let's read that again, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if the worthy want to follow me, right? If those who really matter want to follow me, if the religious want to follow, if the children want to follow me. No, what does Jesus say to us? If anyone, it's the reminder of Christ, no one is too sinful to be forgiven. No one is too broken to be restored. No one is too insignificant to be called an anyone. The invitation is offered freely. Through following Jesus will cost us everything because the Christ who calls us first gave everything for us. Today, are you that anyone? Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. So instead of listening to the world's voices, why don't you listen to the voice of Jesus today? I just want to share a couple scriptures. Isaiah 43, verse 1 says, do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you. By your name, you are mine. Verse 4 says, you are precious in my sight. You are honored and I love you. If you've ever wondered, do I matter? Go to Isaiah 43 and highlight that verse. If you've ever wondered, do I matter to God? Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued to extend faithful love to you. You ever wondered if you matter to God? Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary. Parents, can I get an amen? I will give you rest, Jesus says. Rest for our souls. If you've ever wondered, does my life matter? Hear what Jesus says about you in 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And that is what we are. So I guess every week is family worship day in the house of God. Because if you have trusted Christ by faith, you are his child. You're his son. You are his daughter. So I believe when we ask the question out loud, do we matter to God? I think God says to us, why do you keep listening to the world's voices? Because when we listen to the word of God, how could we not think anything but that we are matter to God? That we are loved by him with an everlasting love, that you are called by name, that he invites anyone who would come after him to deny themselves. Follow me. Take up their cross. Does your life matter? The cross answers with a resounding yes. But the cross also tells us that true abundant life is not found by looking deep within ourselves. Abundant life is found by losing ourselves to Jesus Christ. How do we respond to such a glorious truth as this? But does my life matter? Well, I would simply say, look to the Lord's Supper. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. The bread and the cup proclaim that our salvation was not purchased by accomplishment, was not purchased by dedication or by goodness or by Baptist church covenant membership. Your salvation was purchased by Jesus Christ in your place at Golgotha. It didn't end there, though. He rose again in 3 days. Does your life matter? Jesus is like, what's wrong with you people? I think if we knew how much we matter to God, we would be overwhelmed with grace and mercy. Communion also directs our eyes forward. Not only do we matter to God, but we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus says right here in the scripture, he says, truly I tell you, there are some of you who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom and in his glory. I believe that referred to the resurrection and his ascension, but I believe in an application for us, there might be some of us in this room that will not taste death. Jesus will come before you die. He will come in the same way that he ascended. Are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? When I say, are you ready? I mean this. Have you by faith trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you denied yourself? Have you said to God, God, I cannot save myself. I repent of following Josh because today I want to follow Jesus. Have you done that? Have you believed that? Have you lived that out? What if today Jesus returns? Are you ready? Because you are measured by the health of your soul, not the wealth of your estate. And then lastly, before we come to the table in a moment, we must examine our hearts. Have you turned from sin and trusted Jesus Christ by faith? If you have trusted Christ by faith, have you turned from sin this week? Are you denying yourself right now? Are you taking up your cross today and following him? We do not come to the table trusting our own worthiness. We come confessing our need and resting in the worthiness of Christ. So the next time any of us hears the adversary whisper to us, do you matter to God? We say, I matter so much that he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes, and I am a whoever, I am a anyone, might not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know why we eat the bread and drink the cup together? Because we matter to God. And we want those who do not know Jesus Christ to know that they matter to God. So in a moment, our praise band's going to come and lead us in a song of worship. We want you to worship, and we're going to worship this way. Take a moment for the Christian to say, God, help me take up my cross today. Help me deny myself. Help me confess my sins. And then when you're ready, if you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior and been baptized as a public display of your faith, we invite you to come to one of our stations. Our deacons will be down front and in the back and upstairs because they want to serve you. That's what deacons do. They serve. And when your heart is ready, come. Take that back to your seat. We're going to eat and drink together. And why are we going to do it like this? Because we matter to God. And because we matter to God by faith, we tell the world that He died for them. And if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, do not come to the table, but instead come to the cross. Come to the altar and just hit your knees and say, God, I'm tired of being sick and tired. I need Jesus. And hear the Father say to you today, if anyone wants to come, deny yourself, repent of your sin, take up your cross, follow me. Because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the forgiveness of your sin. Father God,